All right, hope you're ready for the next session. Hope that it's going well. I want to encourage you, keep going, you can do it. Rah, rah, rah. We're in the effective communication class, and the objective of communication for this session is learning how to communicate team building, communicate in such a way that builds a team. There's a paradigm shift in communication, I think, especially if we're thinking about sermons. But I think it's true in almost every area of communication. The old paradigm in the past, if I were to use the computer language or the internet language, it's downloading. People would download. I am the speaker, I'm the one doing the communication, and my job is to download information to you. You come, and I download this thing. So in the past, sermons were very, you know, you're standing behind a pulpit, it's very formal, all of you people are sitting in the pews, and your job is to sit there and listen. And if I were to ask a question, you know, say 50 years ago, everyone understands it's just a rhetorical question. I'm not actually asking a question that I want you to answer. So it's a very download thing. You come and I download this information. In the past, you know, the boss at a company, he would just download what he wants to do. This is what I want all of you to do, and now you go do it. I understand that in some cultures it's still that way. It's sort of a top-down organizational structure in almost any endeavor, and the one in charge just tells people what he wants them to do. It's a download mentality, but that has been changing. That was sort of the old paradigm, and maybe you're still in a culture, or maybe this is still how you operate, but I'm telling you, it's the old paradigm. And a lot of times, a new paradigm gets started at the bottom end of the old paradigm. So if you want to get on board with the new thing, you have to think more team building. Number two, the present, if I want to use the same computer language, it's uploading. Okay, the old system was download. You come to me and I download information to you. But now people are living in an upload world. Facebook, for example. I don't know if you have it in your culture, but it's all over the world. People have a Facebook page and they upload. They upload a picture of themselves. It's a selfie. They upload what they did today or some interesting thing that they came across. I want to tell you something. People are uploading YouTube. And I made this video and I'm going to share it with the world. It's upload. So people want to upload more than they used to. They don't want to just sit there and be downloaded to. They want to be involved in it. It's more of a team exercise today. Dynamics of the size of the audience. All right, you know, just to illustrate more this whole new paradigm, this paradigm shift, in one-on-one conversation, and this has always been true, in a one-on-one conversation, if I were to come and have a conversation with you, and the only thing I did is download, I'm going to do all the talking. I'm going to inform you of stuff. After 5 minutes of someone just talking constantly to you, it gets really awkward. Because in a one-on-one situation, the feeling or the understanding is that you're going to say something and then I'm going to say something. And then you're going to say something and we're going to have a conversation. That's how it goes with one-on-one situations. That's the expectation. If it doesn't go that way, people start feeling uncomfortable. Number two, a small group. Maybe you've done small group Bible studies. In a small group Bible study, if someone stood up at the table and just gave a 20-minute sermon without anyone saying anything, it would be really awkward and strange. It'd be like, what's going on here? Because when there's 10 people sitting together in a cozy situation, the idea is that we're going to have an exchange. You know, maybe I'm the leader, and maybe I'm dominating, I'm giving more information than others because I've prepared this thing, but I fully expect people to participate, and people expect to participate. The size of the group just demands participation. Small church services. So if you have a small church of 50, 60 people, now, a person can get away with standing up and speaking for 20 minutes because the group is big enough where people expect that that might happen. But a lot of times at the prayer time, people want to contribute, they want to say something. In a small church, people want to say more. It's not threatening to get up and speak in front of 60 people. So the dynamic of a small group is of such. When I planted a church in Vancouver, we started out with 10, and then we had 60 people. When we had 60 people, I had a prayer time, and I would take prayer requests, and people freely said things, and we could manage it. We weren't so many people that we didn't, that we could manage the number of requests and people talking and such. But number four, large church service. So once you get over 100, 200, 300 people, now when you have prayer time, if you open it up, if everyone participated, it would take forever. And what happens is the people that like to talk in front of 400 people start dominating the whole thing. And it doesn't really work. So what happens as churches get bigger, as the group you're talking to gets bigger, the more is the expectation that one person is going to do more of the talking and take more ownership of it. And so that's what's happened, okay? So the larger the church, the more formal the situation, the more one person does all the talking. The smaller the group, the more people expect to contribute to the conversation. Now, what's happening is that dynamic of uploading. Okay, people are uploading on the internet all the time. And so the expectation or the desire is to do more uploading. And how does that work in a large church? You have 400 people and you can't have 400 people uploading all the time. So what do you do? How to approximate the small group dynamic in a large group communication. The people want more of an upload feel to things, but it's hard to do in a larger group. So how do you give the illusion or the approximation of the small thing in the large things? And there's ways to communicate team. Number one, use informal one-on-one language. When you talk one-on-one with a person, you just use ordinary language. You just talk. You don't use huge, big words that people don't understand. I remember my first job as a youth pastor, I went to this church, and I met in the pastor's office, and he was like 70 years old, and they were interviewing me for the job, and it was just him and myself and one other person in this office. There was just three of us. And he stood up and he prayed like there were 3,000 people there. He used all these big words, and it was like, "And thou, O Lord, in the kingdoms," and it was like, what? There's just three of us here. It just felt awkward. Well, if you use big words and things that people don't understand in a large group situation, you're keeping them at a distance. If you use just ordinary words, you say things like you would when you're talking to two people, it feels smaller, even though it's a larger group. Number two, use informal one-on-one volume and voice inflection. If you're speaking to a large group, the tendency is to speak like Billy Graham. "Hello and welcome, people. God is good." And you're like a politician out there and shouting and putting your hands up. If you were talking to one person, you wouldn't be doing that. "Hey, how are you today?" You just say, "Hey, how are you today?" See, in the past, you had to do these kinds of things, loud voices and so on, because there wasn't a mic system. There wasn't a speaker system, so you had to project and you had to say things in a particular manner so that people could hear. But now people can hear if you whisper. So talk like you would to one person. If you talk like you're talking to one person, it will feel like you're talking to them. So after a Sunday service, for example, I have people that will come up and say, "You were talking right to me." And you know why they feel that way? Because I was. I wasn't talking to 400 people. I was talking to him and her. I look right at you and say something. Because that's what you would do in an informal conversation. It feels smaller that way. Don't read from a script. Look people in the eyes. If you're looking and reading your sermon, and then the Lord said this, and then and what we need to do in our marriages is really care. There's a disconnect. There's like a plate glass between the speaker and the people. But if you want to communicate to people, you need to look them right in the eye. You need to talk about God. You need to your marriage. The person that you're married to is the most important person in the entire world. And what habits do you have together? See, if I want to say something like that, I've got to be looking right at you. If I was communicating to you, I wouldn't be reading some script. If I had like three people in a room, I wouldn't be reading this thing with my eyes down. I'd be looking right at you. Eyes meeting eyes is more informal. Ask questions. Ask questions. Not rhetorical questions, but questions you really want someone to answer. I'll do this in my service all the time. I'll step down from the pulpit area. And I'll say, why do you think most people don't go to church? Anyone? See, when I really want someone to answer something, I'll go, anyone? Hey, I need an answer here. I'm not just asking a rhetorical question. Now, there's some risk in that because you might have a crazy person who says something really crazy and you have to learn how to deal with that. But I ask questions and I want people to answer them. Sometimes I'll say, I'm going to ask a question and I want you to write down the answer. Just write down your answer, just real quick on a piece on your bulletin. And then I'll say, who's willing to share what they wrote? I need three people. Because we don't have time for 20 people. I need three. Okay, you? Okay, go. How to approximate the small group dynamic in a large group communication. Number 5, use group participation exercises. I want to communicate what faith is. All right, I want all of you to stand up. So everyone stands up. I want you to close your eyes. Everyone closes their eyes. I want you to fold your hands. Everyone folds their hands. And I say, okay, I want you to sit down into the chair you just stood up from without touching it. And people with their hands closed, they can't see the chair. They're like, okay, hold it. Where is it exactly? It's hard. Okay? It's hard. Even though they know the chair is there. Again, that's like faith. Faith is, you know God is there, but your eyes are closed and you can't see, and so you sit down. And I said, now do it again. And they do it again. But this time, it's easier. Why? Because they just did it. And they know the chair is there. And that's what faith is like. As you work your faith. See, I'm getting everyone involved in something. They're doing something. They're feeling like we're in this together. If possible, give pre-speech work for your audience to do. So sometimes I'll email everyone. This is what I want you to bring a rock to church. Then I'll talk about it. And then I sometimes I give post-speech work that requires the audience to give their feedback at some point. I want you to take this rock, I want you to put it in your pocket for 2 weeks. Keep it there. And every time this particular thing happens, I want you to reach in and grab that rock. And we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Number 8, get people in your audience to contribute to your speech. Okay, so I talk about my sermon during the week, and I'm looking for people to share a story. Yeah, you know, this happened to me. You know, I read the passage for today because we have passages to read every single day. And this is what happened. I went to the hospital and this thing happened. I say, could you tell that story for our sermon next Sunday? Use material and or stories of people in your audience that you have gathered ahead of time. There's all the people in your congregation have all these experiences. Instead of you trying to figure out your own story and you know, you have all these people that have stories that have not been told. People are sick of your stories, maybe. Let them tell their stories. How to create a sense of team with any communication. Use we more than I or you. Hey, what you need to do, see, that separates me from you. What we all need to do, see, now we're a team. We're in this together. I'm not telling you what to do. And I'm not saying, I think this. Don't we think this? Isn't this how most of us operate? See, let's be together on this. As I'm preaching to you, it's not, here's what I think, I'm telling you. Isn't this what we all think? Isn't this what you read in your Bible? See, we're in this together. Didn't we study this together? I'm not the expert downloading to you. We're all experts, aren't we? And I'm sort of gathering all of this for all of us. Make your challenge speeches applicable to the whole group. I'm not talking to just 10% of the people. I'm talking to the children. I need to say something about, you know, if I'm trying to apply something, I talk about, you know, when you're in school. There's that one guy that no one likes to play with. Maybe it's your role to go and speak to them. In your marriage, in your family, at your workplace, in the social situations you find yourself, in your neighborhood. Okay? I'm mentioning all these places so that you can... We're in this together. It's always a community. Make your comfort speeches applicable to the whole group. Okay, I just said that. Make your encouraging speeches applicable to the whole group. That's what I was just doing. Team verses, 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. See, I'm not standing here the only guy that reads the Bible and prays to God and has a relationship with Him, and I'm downloading stuff on you, because we're all doing this. The way I look at my job on Sunday morning with a sermon is I'm the guy who gets to sort of pull all the parts together. I'm not doing it myself. I'm doing it with you, not to you. Okay? How do you communicate that? Ephesians 4:11-16. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach a unity together in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Why? Because we're together. Christ, the head, we are the body. We're not going to be easily pushed around and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. Notice all this we. We will grow to become in every respect mature of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the church. Each part doing its work. If you're going to lead in church especially, you need to communicate that we're in this together. If you're always downloading, I'm the smart one, I'm going to tell all of you stuff. See, you're not building the body. You're separating yourself from the body. Christ is the head, and we all together are the body. I want you to feel like you're a part of this. I am I'm leading this thing, but all that means is I have the privilege of gathering all the brilliance and all that God is doing in each of our lives and pulling it together. The service is the culmination of all the talking and listening to God, all the prayers, all the Bible reading, all the things that happen during the week. It's the culmination of all of us together walking with God, and we come together and we give praise to God. It's not a downloading thing. And I think if you took that attitude everywhere you go, all your relationships, if you go to work and you're downloading on people, they will resent it. Communicate togetherness. Communicate we're in this together. And we need each other. I have gifts, you have gifts. And all of it makes it work. Communicate in the workplace. Communicate in your social situations. In church. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. Communicate this whole idea of being on a team. Alright, so my assignment for you today is to do that. What teams? Identify the teams in your life, and how do you communicate in such a way that builds the team and not divides the team? We'll see you next time.